Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good morning again. My name is Minister Sherry Murphy. I bring you greetings from Heart and Soul Center of Light, where I'm a member and licensed practitioner at Heart and Soul. I'm just so happy to be here. I was here last year, and I'm remembering all the good music that I heard from last year, and without fail, it is again happening. So I just want to thank you. Before I get started, because I have a lot to say in the short time that I have with you all, I just want to give reverence to the land in which we are sitting and standing on today, the lonely land, the original stewards of this land. I also want to give reverence to my ancestors, not only because it's Black History Month, but also recognize that the Black resilience that's in me, the faith of making a way out of no way, is in my bones. And I also want to give reverence again to my spiritual home community where the Reverend Andriette Earle is the senior minister. Amen. As we prepare our temples for the word today, I invite you to inhale very deeply and take a deep breath out. So inhaling and then letting it out with a sigh. As I affirm a word through the quote of Martin Luther King, who says, "Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself." Amen. So some of your faces are familiar to me from last time that I was here. And I think I explained to you that I grew up in a Black church in the South, Virginia, as a matter of fact, Scottsville, Virginia, 30, 40 miles where they ended the Civil War. And in that church, there wasn't the only preacher that was talking. It was also the congregation. And the congregation spoke words of affirmation through what we know as call and response. How many of you know call and response? Thank you, because we're going to use that today. Amen. It's very important that this service that we have today not only is about me, but it's about us. So whatever resonates with you or even doesn't resonate with you, I need you to speak a word. I need you to say amen or ashe. Well, go ahead, preacher, you know? So can we agree to do that?
Yes.
Amen. 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 All right. See, I feel the Holy Spirit already active. Because when we are engaging with our breath and into the sermon, it brings something to us. We have to recognize that we're not here to be entertained. We're here to be healed. Yes? All right. So, and let us begin. Martin Luther King lived out his life. First, let me just tell you what I'm going to talk about. I actually gave a blurb to Joanna a couple weeks ago, but I just want to remind you that we're going to talk about Moms for Housing today. I'm going to use the thoughts of Martin Luther King in Jeremiah 30 to support us with that.
All right.
Martin Luther King lived out his life Black and unapologetically, calling out white supremacy. He was a curator for social justice because he knew all too well what it means to be Black in America. Mm-hmm. The consequences of his skin color, what anti-Blackness feels like, the effects of living in slums, the stench of Black bodies resulting from state violence. He was way too familiar with the sound of a bomb, sleepless nights due to phone threats, and the false hope that comes from smokescreen promises, unjust policies, and laws. Mm-hmm. He had felt his fears come down like down on him like lightning all at once, but he did God's work anyway. Mm-hmm. There were no illusionary walls he could take solace in. He offered humanity the most evasive and eluding element, the truth. Likewise, Black mamas and their babies Black mamas and their babies are offering the most evasive and elusive element today, the truth. With the exception of indigenous tribes, the oppression of black women and their families have continuously exposed the lie of a free and just society longer than any group in America. Black women and their families under the white supremacist regime are expected to suffer in silence while various forms of state terror break our bodies down, manifesting as heart disease, rising infant mortality rates, depression, even killing us in our families. What's contradictory is that black women can be trusted to take care of our children, your children, trusted to support our aging parents, your parents, trusted to prepare our meals, your meals, but not trusted to make moral pleas. They are expected to suffer in silence until we don't. And like the co-founders of Moms for Housing, Moms for Housing is a campaign to lift up the epidemic of homelessness.
Yes.
There are four times more. There are four times as many empty homes in Oakland as there are people without homes. Some of these people are children. Their website says no one should be homeless when homes are sitting empty.
That's right.
Because housing is a human right.
Amen.
Housing is a human right.
Amen.
Moms for Housing are uniting mothers, neighbors, and friends to reclaim housing for the East Bay community from the big banks and real estate speculators.
Yes.
This movement's co-founders are a collective of homeless and marginally housed mothers who are coming together with the ultimate goal of reclaiming housing for the community from speculators and profiteers. They are mothers. They are workers. They are human beings, and like most of us, deserve housing. In Oakland, we have an equity score of 33%. 33 out of 100. It's been a long time since I've been in high school, but I know that a 33 won't get me to passing. So let's focus on why we are part of a nation after the 2008 Wall Street crashed the global economy. African Americans lost under $200 billion in wealth. This was the greatest destruction of black wealth since the burning of Black Wall Street in 1921. Between 2008 to 2012, 9.3 million homes were foreclosed by the same predatory banks who crashed the economy. They are asking us, these black mamas and their babies, say with me again, black mamas and their babies are asking us to follow the breadcrumbs of displacement. Because when we do that, it shouldn't be a surprise that we are in a housing crisis of epic proportions, and it's growing.
Yes.
Moms for Housing is a movement that wants us to be accountable and honest about how we live in.
Yes.
How you live in. Like King, they are offering humanity the most evasive and eluding element. What? The truth. Through it all, Moms for Housing continuously stand in front of movements which dare to improve the lives of everyone.
Yes.
So, what else has us rejecting their righteous anger as a curator for change, and instead misconstruing them as uncivilized, as tramps, as welfare queens, devaluing them, looking at them like they're nobody. So before some folks utter another slandering word about my sisters, I want to invite you to read or reread Martin Luther King's letter from the Alabama Birmingham jail. It asks us to focus on the conditions that brings the demonstrations into being rather than demonizing the oppressed. It suggests that those who engage in nonviolent direct action are not the creators of tension, but merely bring to the surface the hidden tension that is already alive.
Amen.
It is just that any law that supports the degradation of humans is unjust.
That's right.
further adding that inequities aren't just because it distorts the soul and damages the personality. It talks about how oppression gives the segregator a false sense of superiority and the segregated a false sense of inferiority. And it supports us in making a distinction between just and unjust laws.
Yes.
See, in order for the displacement systems or machine to work, it requires us to reduce the humanity of an individual, to make distinctions, to discredit who they are based on race or gender, living address, sexual orientation, or even criminal record. In the spirit of King, we have to talk about a toxic theology which promotes the demonization of black skin. We got to talk about it. Are we willing to talk about it this morning?
Yes.
All right. Faith communities who practice from a space of detachment or dissonance, a toxic theology that looks at black folks and their despairs at arm's length with disdain, pity, or a desire to help, but won't. A harmful act that sings about collective liberation, but is challenged with the embodiment of such. Behaviors demonstrating harmful acts to see the entirety of our being through their eyes. In other words, we can see with them, but not at them. And that's a distinctly grammatical. Let me explain. There are some who will hang on to a toxic theology of niceness that won't heal racism. Hear me now. The kind of niceness that isn't courageous. Behaviors that look like being too afraid to speak up or in denial. Blind, call it whatever you like, instead of incorporating a spiritual practice which is ongoing education, relationship building, risk taking, mistake making over and over again. You got to be willing to make mistakes over and over again. And ultimately, actual strategic action to interrupt racism. I'm here to tell you today, in the most compassionate and truthful and loving way, you're not looking at us. You're not looking with us, you're looking at us. And that's toxic. It kills. If you're sending thoughts and prayers and not standing up for justice, you're not looking with us, you're looking at us. You get that? If you believe voting is enough but are not willing to dive in your hearts and minds, you're not looking at us. You're looking with us. And this is a hard one I'm about to say. If you were at the Women's March a couple weeks ago with all the other beautiful people, but you have never marched in a Black Lives Matter march, you're looking at us and not with us. And to the degree that you think you aren't racist, that you have arrived, but I won't find you engaging in the kind of freedom work that requires you to be in black-led spaces, being vulnerable, making mistakes, messing up, trying again, making mistakes, messing up, trying again, again and again and again and again. You're not looking with us, you're looking at us. So when we find ourselves in these places, when we're able to acknowledge the yes, that there's more work for us to do, when we're able to interrogate and provoke our inner beings and ask the questions both on an individual and a collective level, we must come to some places. And as faith communities, we must ask ourselves, are you ready to stop playing church and acknowledge your complicitness in displacement? To acknowledge where we have failed so that we may move from our bloated and limited God to a more expansive one that will see our black mamas and their babies. See, I know we talk about border walls frequently, but are our faith communities willing to tear down ours? Mm-hmm. And I know this community is different, so I have a recording. So that churches can speak up for our black mamas and their babies and not leave it to the oppressed to speak for themselves? Is it possible to acknowledge doctrines and church house politics that have silenced our black mamas, damned them to hell of racism and misogyny, sexual and domestic violence, and other forms of oppression? Are our faith communities ready to acknowledge where our doctrines have been wrong again for the sake of solidarity for and with our black mamas and their babies? And in all of this, there have been too many faith communities daring not to disrupt the status quo and instead are willing to sanitize Jesus' mission. Jeremiah 30, 1 to 2. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, thus says the Lord God of Israel, write in a book all the words which I have spoken to you. For behold, hear this, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will return them to the land that I have gave to their forefathers, and they will take possession of it. The book of Jeremiah highlights a certain kind of people. The writer of Jeremiah is concerned and focuses on a certain kind of people who have been locked out of their own homes. Through the hermeneutic of displacement, Jeremiah tells us what it means when you can't return back to your own land. Jeremiah's passage demonstrates that God can do great things in what seems like what is impossible situations. Moms for Housings are contemporary and visionary prophets, and like Jeremiah 30, who sing a triumphal hymn of Oakland's and East Bay's liberation. Chanting housing is a human right, regardless of your curbside address, your race, your gender, your marital status, your past, your sexual orientation, your drug history, your mental health, your status, your income. Can you hear me?
Yes.
These are prophets channeling in Vogue song who sings the lyrics, free your mind and the rest will follow. They are singing Harriet, stand up, with the lyrics, I'm standing, I'm taking my people with me. Together we are going to a brand new home. Can you hear freedom calling? Yes. Calling me to answer, keep on keeping on. Yes, they are singing a hymnal of triumphant. They sing songs beckoning you to ask, which side are you on? And when I read Jeremiah 30, 1 through 4, through the hermeneutics lens of displacement, there is a contemporary translation that reads like this in my mind. Recorded on CNN, Democracy Now, NBC, ABC, CBS, all the words that I have spoken to you, for a change is about to come. I'm bringing my people back home to the land of their ancestors. I will make it affordable again. No more luxury towers, but sustainable, healthy places to live.
Amen.
I will restore the fortune of my melanated people, for they shall take possession of what has been all theirs all along. There are no reruns, brothers and sisters, because the revolution is constantly live. This revolution is being televised. This revolution is being televised. Yes, they sing a revised version of Jill Scott Heron, who was an American soul and jazz poet, musician and author. Today, they are Jeremiah, singing a song of what seems like an impossible situation. The hymnal is about good news. They sing a revolutionary language. Black mamas and their babies. Sing with me. Black mamas and their babies. Black mamas and their babies who bring us a triumphant speech in the middle of despair. A language which describes the reversal of displacement. A language that causes social upheaval, calling in liberation. Ceasing to abide by respectability politics. Breaking up the status quo. Participating in civil disobedience with a willingness to be arrested. Give God some praise. They are prophets who are announcing the coming reign of justice. And when I think about the blessings that rain down, the imagination that they have invoked in us, There's a quote that I heard in a movie that says, when we pray for rain, you also got to deal with the mud that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's another way of saying, when we vision for a better day, we also got to connect to our grief. As I was preparing my remarks today, there was joy that was also accompanied with a deep longing and aching. The grief I experienced in the past of living as a Black queer woman in America. The spaces I wish I had and longed for what I'd never had growing up as a queer Black woman. And I'm so grateful for those spaces now, to know that there are spaces for me to talk about and hold for what it means to be queer and spiritual at the same time, because they are one and the same. To have folks look with me and not at me. And when I see Black mamas and their babies being refused to tell the stories by individuals and collectives through various measures, a reality about surviving in isolation in their communities, it brings me sorrow because they are made to feel invisible and I can see with them and not at them. So in closing, Mia Mingus reminds us our call today is to heal. And it's to heal stories that deny each other, stories that minimizes one's humanity, drive each other away and fear one another, which ultimately causes violence in many forms and on so many levels. Stories told in many ways that can be even more painful because we are each other's kin. We are part of each other's melanated kin. We are gendered kin. We are mother's kin. We are from the East Bay kin. We are in a housing crisis kin. If most people agree that housing would serve the best interests of Black mamas and their babies, then why do we hold such reactionary ideas? Why do we create the places of dissonance? In the words of King, why must the finger frequently point at the oppressed and not the oppressor? I ask myself, where does my story fit into the legacy of housing for the East Bay community? Where does your story fit in? And how can we commit to sharing our stories with each other, our whole stories, without condemnation, exile, or dispossession? How do we learn how to find and hold on to each other? How do we learn how to take care of our own, even if we are strangers, even if we are estranged? How do we get to the truth that we're all that we have, people? Because what I want for us is healing and transformation. I want us to struggle with everything we have so that we can sing a triumphal hymn around displacement. I want us to pledge to devote our lives in building what it takes to face ourselves and each other. And although it will be uncomfortable, we are committed to doing it anyhow. To be able to speak our truths and tell our stories and our secrets without fear of denial, minimizing, or rejection. I want us to be able to risk being vulnerable again and again and again, because you cannot build trust without vulnerability. And true love cannot exist without trust. I want us to look with each other and not at each other, because this is a revolution. This is a revolution. This is a revolution. And it is about healing. Amen.